Hi, I'm Teresa, owner of T3 Fit, and you're listening to the T3 Fit podcast, where scoliosis warriors and professionals come together. Here we talk about our scoliosis journeys and the emotional components it takes on from being a parent to being diagnosed with scoliosis and sometimes leading to surgery. It's a place where professionals share their expertise of treatments, from physical therapy to surgery, and so much more. So let's get started. Hey, everybody, welcome to the T3 Fit Scoliosis Podcast. On today's episode, we have a chiropractor. His name is Dr. Jason Cooney, and he is located in Clifton, New Jersey. He has 25 years of experience, I believe. Correct me if I'm wrong on that.
23
years experience. he has worked with people who have scoliosis, and he's going to share with us his experience of that and with his patients and what he has learned along the way and what he has helped his patients with along the way. So Jason, I'd like to welcome you to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Nice to be here. So please, so tell us a little bit. So I know you, right? We go back a long way. But you got started as a chiropractor, you said, at the age of 26. What was the pivoting time in your life that you
I grew up with chiropractic because my father was a chiropractor. So I had always been exposed to it from a young age, and I saw him help people. And I was always fascinated with it. I didn't know I wanted to do it for a profession, but I was kind of trying to figure out what I wanted to do. And he said, well, why don't you come and really spend some time with me and see what I do. So I did that. And I thought it would be something that I would really enjoy, helping people. And I was always fascinated by anatomy. And so that's kind of how I got into it initially. And in fact, when I graduated, he was still in practice, and I was able to work with him for about 8 years and learn a lot from him.
Okay.
And he was one of the early chiropractors, you know, that started out in the 70s. So the education has actually improved a lot since then. But those old guys really started it all, and it was very interesting to learn from him. So that's initially how I got into it. Chiropractors scoliosis is interesting because you have to, as a chiropractor, is just like anything else. There's good ones and bad ones, right? So, you know, you have to be very selective and careful who you go to. I always say it's good to have a recommendation by somebody who's already going, or somebody who already has a reputation out there that's established, because, you know, there are some guys out there, unfortunately, that will say, no matter what you have or what your condition is, that they're going to cure you with chiropractic. And it's just not the case. You know, you have to know your limitations, especially with scoliosis is a good example, because, you know, there may be a chiropractor out there that's going to say, well, you know, if you have scoliosis, come to me and we're going to, you know, fix your scoliosis. And that's just, you know, if they say that, run for the hills, basically, chiropractic can be very effective in stabilizing the spine, slowing down the progression of the scoliosis, strengthening through exercises the muscles. But it's very difficult, especially with a congenital scoliosis as opposed to an acquired scoliosis. With a congenital scoliosis, it's very difficult to completely reverse the curve with chiropractic. So I always say to people, you know, be weary of chiropractors promising too much, you know, because, you know, but that being said, they can help you a lot with pain, a lot with range of motion, and a lot with the stabilization of the spine through exercise, which is essentially what you're able to do with the mace, which is fantastic. And it's similar, mm-hmm. like we would do other type of exercises, core stabilization. Mm-hmm. A great exercise that we do is just simple bridging, which you're familiar with a bridge, making a, you lay down and you you drive basically your elevate up. Your pelvis. Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly. Crunches and stuff. I don't like a full sit-up, because when you do a full sit-up all the way, you're really, once you get to the very top, you're stressing the spine a lot. Mm-hmm. But a crunch or a bridge is a great way. My experience is I've had a lot of success with active care, meaning exercise and stabilization of the spine. But it's only going to be as effective as the person is willing to do their own work, basically, because you can only do so much. Yeah. You know, the chiropractic can help you and lead you to in the right direction, but the person has to be really willing to put the work in on their own time, do the exercise, do the stretching, and work with you, and that's where you get the best results.
So how does that work? So they come and see you, and then they have exercises, or I'm going to say in air quotes, homework to do with you in between their right. sessions.
Well, and, I'll do right. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I'll teach them the exercises. I'll mm-hmm. give them, you know, they can look at videos and they'll learn the exercises. There will be some manipulation if they want it, and if it's shown to be effective with that individual. Everyone, I like to treat everyone individually, and see, one, you have to determine, well, what's the extent of the curve? I get all sorts of people with really extreme curves, but also with very mild curves.
Okay.
You know, that are 5 degrees, 10 degrees, 15 degrees. Mm-hmm. Once I have a patient that goes beyond 30 degrees, if they don't already have one, I'm sending them right to the orthopedist at that point. Because they should at least have a consultation with them so that they can follow the track of the progression of the curve. Mm-hmm. And I'll move them on. But basically how it works is, We would obtain x-rays. We would, whether the radiologist or myself would do the Cobb angle, we determine the exact degrees of the curve.
Okay.
Usually we'll see an S curve, but there are some C curves. And then we determine, we'll muscle test them. And that's really important, because with scoliosis, you're gonna have muscles that become weak, inhibited, inactive. And part of the treatment is to strengthen those muscles,
right,
so that they start firing again, mm-hmm. and they start supporting the spine. So we take x-rays, we'll muscle test them, we'll check their range of motion. Then we get their baseline findings, basically what we call. And then from there, we develop an exercise program and a protocol for the treatment, which usually involves a lot of stretching. I'm a firm believer that there's two parts to this. One is strengthening, which is very important, but also, as you know, flexibility is important. We want to maintain some level of flexibility.
Yeah.
And I think that's, you're doing actually, both with the mace,
yeah,
which is really amazing. Like you're getting, that the firing of those muscles and the strengthening of the supportive soft tissues, but you're also helping with the range of motion as well. So, that's basically how we'll start out, and then we monitor the progress. And if someone's not improving with treatment, again, that's where we'll move them on to another specialty, whether it's PT, acupuncture, orthopedic care, pain management, whatever it is. You have to know if you're going in the right direction. You don't continue to treat somebody if they're not responding to the treatment.
In terms of the treatment, what are some of the... Well, how long does the treatment last?
You set goals and you basically reevaluate every 4 to 6 weeks.
Okay.
So if you're going in the right direction and you're helping the person and they're reporting that they have decreased pain and increased strength and range of motion, the treatment will go on indefinately, as long as they're benefiting from mm-hmm. it.
Okay.
But if someone's acute and they're having pain and they just want to basically get out of pain, typically you're going to have something like a 3-month treatment plan, something like that.
Okay.
And then after that, they'll go on some maintenance.
And what are the age ranges? Because I know with adolescents, it's very different with scoliosis as opposed to, you know, people who are more mature. I'm not going to say aging, but more mature.
Absolutely.
So what are some of the age ranges that you have personally worked
experience. With? So typically we get them when they're initially diagnosed in adolescence. So, you know, somewhere right after puberty.
Okay.
Is where a lot of these, you know, unfortunately, they're not always going to be caught early on, you know, unless the parents are have a history of knowing about it or they see a specialist. So a lot of times it's that first that school nurse that identifies, you know, bend down,
to go along the spine,
stretch your back, stretch the curve. But even that, interesting enough, when you do that forward flexion test, if the curve is very mild, you know, someone might miss it at that age.
Yeah.
But typically, if it's severe or if the person starts to have pain, I know when you were an adolescent, you already had pain and symptoms at that
point. I never had pain. I never had pain. Yeah, I never had pain. I didn't have a noticeable rib hump. The only thing you could see was one scapula protruding out. That was
so. How did they find it, and what was your progression with that with the doctors?
I don't remember how they found it, but I remember at the end, I had to have the Milwaukee brace, and then in junior high school, I had a brace, and I had the surgery, and my degrees were 45-50.
Wow.
And I had the Harrington rods fused to my spine.
Yeah.
And that was in 82.
Wow. Okay. Wow. Yeah. So typically we'll get them in adolescence, and that's the best time to get them because you can still help them again, not to reverse the curve, but to stabilize it and slow it down. You know, the curve can progress 1 to 2 degrees every year. Depending on treatment. So you really want to catch them early. So that's really the beginning, usually about 12 or 13. And then I'll get people who are, you know, all the way up to their 40s and 50s, who never really had a brace, never had treatment, but because they're aging, they start to get the degenerative and arthritic changes that go along with that. And they start having a lot of symptoms, basically pain at that point.
Okay.
So I'll see some people up into 30s, 40s, and 50s that it's basically the first time that they're even addressing it. You know, so yeah. So
and are those people in pain when you have you?
Yeah,
that?
Usually that's why they're that's what brought them in.
Okay.
Is usually they start to get pain.
Okay.
And you know, it's not unheard of. Typically, those people are not always surgical candidates, depending on, you know, how old they are. But I've heard of people even getting it in their 30s and 40s. But you like to do the surgery at a young age because it's much more effective, and I think the outcome is a lot more effective.
Yeah. You know,
when you get it young.
So I have a question. So you, I'm going to throw this example out here. You have an adolescent who has a curve, let's say it's 35, and then you have somebody in their 30s who has a 35. Would you do the same techniques if those people were identical in their curvature and their skeletal structure?
You could do the same exercises and they can still receive some manipulation, but again, you're gonna treat everybody specifically. So the younger adolescent is going to probably be capable of withstanding a little more higher level manipulation, a little more exercise. They and you can do a lot more without the presence of pain, you know, because people can do more. So the adolescent is going to be a little I think you're going to get better results.
Okay.
Because of their younger and you know, they don't have the degeneration and the arthritic changes in the spine yet. So you can be a little bit more aggressive. I'm not as super aggressive at manipulation. I think you can get the job done without being too rough. And, you know, that's one of the differences between kind of the old school chiropractic and the new school. Like, you know, it's a lot of it is technique. So if you have the proper technique, you know, everyone's so scared about manipulation and getting adjusted, not everyone, but I think a lot of that is the technique of the doctor and his ability to do it without too much force is a lot more effective.
So how have things changed, from example, from your father, who was, you know, a chiropractor? Was he more aggressive when he performed?
I think they were a little rougher. Yeah, they were very aggressive with their manipulation. And not that it wasn't effective, but I think over the years, as the profession has evolved and the techniques have, certain techniques have evolved, there are other ways, you know, to do it with without being as aggressive. And I think, you know, you want to be as gentle as you can with still getting the job done, basically.
And what's your thoughts on doing, performing these manipulations with somebody who has a spinal fusion?
Basically, you're really not going to be manipulating the areas that are fused. However, you can treat the levels above and below the fusion with manipulation, but you really don't want to be manipulating into a spine that's stabilized. And there's a reason it's stabilized. You know, you're trying to not move it,
right,
and to keep it straight. So you wouldn't manipulate that. The one thing, though, that tends to happen in some people is when you fuse the spine, there is an aspect where the spinal levels below and above tend to have to pick up a little bit of more slack, for a better word. They have to work harder.
Okay.
So you can have degeneration and changes that occur on the other levels that aren't fused because they're working harder and they're doing most of the work. So you can still treat them. And with people that have fused spines, you can still get them relief of their muscle pain. So we don't just do manipulation here. I do the modalities. We do electric stim, we do ultrasound, we do combination ultrasound, which stimulates the muscles. There's some massage techniques, there's trigger point release. There's a technique called active release where you're stretching the muscle. Because a lot of people with scoliosis will get, even though they're not going to necessarily have nerve or spinal pain if the surgery is successful, they will have muscle pain. You work with the muscles as well.
Okay.
And that's something we can do with fusion. And that's great that you don't have a lot of pain though. And I think that maybe because of your exercise, right?
Yeah. So in the winters it gets really hard for me, but I have to exercise so that I don't have.
And one of the things that's very important, and this is not just with scoliosis, we find this with degenerative conditions in the spine, is movement, motion. We say it's kind of cheesy. We say motion is lotion, basically, you know, so
I like it.
because like the more sedentary we are, the more stiffness tends to occur.
Yeah.
So you want, that's why the exercise and movement, even just plain old walking, you know, people like, and it's interesting, you would think that people who have manual labor jobs, you know, have the worst backs. And they can get hurt and they can have injuries. But what I'm seeing in a lot of the research is showing now is the people with the worst backs are the people who sit at desks all day, you know,
they're not moving. Sitting is the new smoking.
Yeah. And it's because, so when you sit, basically you have just compression happens, gravity and compression happens over the spine. And especially in the lumbar spine, where that's where basically all the weight of your torso is going to wind up.
Right.
So another thing I'm seeing with a lot of adolescents now, unfortunately, because of the smartphones, and just about every kid has a smartphone, is they just sit and they're looking at their phones. And my daughter does this as well. And I'm always yelling at her and she yells back at me to shut up. But is posture. And yeah. And so if anybody has a child, it's really important to impress upon them at an early age the importance of sitting up straight. Because a simple thing like slouching over time, especially with a curve in your spine, can have a really detrimental effect.
I want to ask one more thing about spinal fusions with mm-hmm. chiropractor. Is there anything that you would say for people like not to do? I mean, I know you talked about people doing their research and really being, you know, being very self-involved, which is super important. But is there anything that, like, if somebody wanted to have an adjustment?
I would just say that, you know, they ask the right questions. I would advise them not to have someone aggressively manipulate into the fused area. So, you know, if a chiropractor would say to them, oh, no, it's okay, you know, don't worry about it, I would question that, because, you know, basically, you're just kind of, when you adjust the spine, the goal is to have movement in the mm-hmm. joint.
Okay.
So if, although there's a tiny bit of movement in there, you don't want to adjust into the fused area. So that would be contraindicated. I would say you have to be careful if someone suggests, depending on the levels, the level of fusion traction after the fusion, because you have to be careful with, you know, someone, if you have a mechanical traction, it could be contraindicated to a fused spine as well.
Okay.
And the best way to deal with the flexibility is just stretching. A lot of the stuff nowadays, you can, you know, stretching your back or exercising your core. There's so many videos on YouTube too that you could find nowadays.
Which you still, you know, have to just be careful with.
Right. That's true. That's very true. But, you know, ask the right questions. If you want to try chiropractic, make sure that they have experience in treating it. Make sure they're not promising you the moon, you know, like, oh, you know, we're going to fix you and get rid of the curve and do all these things, and go slow. Make sure the person is going slow. You want to take, you know, baby steps and not be too aggressive right off the bat. And, but it can be effective, in reducing pain with people who have it. So okay. I would suggest that. That is definitely a capable thing and of chiropractic to achieve.
Okay. Well, Jason, I'd like to thank you for taking the time out of your schedule.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. If anybody has any questions, please feel free to reach out to Dr. Jason Cooney at drjasoncooney.com. Right. He's happy to answer your questions along with his team. And Jason, I'd like to thank you for being a guest on the T3 Fit Scoliosis podcast.
I really enjoyed it. Thank you, Teresa.
If you'd like to know more about what it's like training with a mace, go to my page at t3fit.com, or you can find me on Instagram also under T3Fit. If you like this episode, chances are there's someone else out there who needs to hear it too. So it would be a huge favor to me if you'd go ahead and give us a 5-star review. It helps me get the message out to more people. And if you need help moving in pain, then download my 5 free tips, and I'll catch you on the next episode.